This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
400 agents. That's right. Tom Holman's the man. 400 agents going after to get the gang Trende Aragua. 400 plus. And in Colorado, 30 arrests. Including Trende Aragua gang members. They are not messing around, baby. Not messing around at all. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us. We are seeing almost a 95% decrease in illegal entries since January 21st. This is a big, big deal. Not only that, criminal prosecutions of those that the government's apprehending are up almost 52%. It's working. It's already because there's no one better than Tom Holman for this job. No one better. Tom Holman is taking this very seriously, and he's out there doing these raids with his guys. Oh, yeah, you see him all the time. He's out there. He's got his baseball cap on, just like Christy Noem, wearing her vest, riding horseback. These are people who are on the street with their agents, taking this very seriously, and they're not messing around. It's great. It's great. Fantastic. Oh, and yesterday was such a big win for women in this country and such a big win for President Trump. So Paula Scanlon, hopefully, will be on the show tomorrow. Paula was at the White House yesterday. She, of course, is a local friend of the show, local. She swam at Penn, University of Pennsylvania. She was one of the women who had a deal with bio dude Will Thomas in the pool. You know as Leah Thomas. Will with his schlong in the pool. Well, Paula Scanlon and Riley Gaines and a bunch of other very brave women worked tirelessly, even though they were called bigots and they were told that they were hateful and that they were all the worst people in the world. They fought tirelessly to defend the rights of women to play in women's sports and to be safe from dudes in their locker rooms. And they won yesterday in a big way when President Trump signed that executive order protecting women. Donald Trump, feminist. That's right. And I'm a feminist. I love women. I've been a big advocate of women for a long, long time. And I've been defending them for years. For years. Listen, I said that transgenderism in children, because I don't really care what you do as you're an adult. You're an adult, you knock yourself out. I don't really care. But if you're an adult and you're in college and you're playing on a team, you need to play with whatever parts you were, I'm going to quote this now, assigned at birth. So ESPN... This is the craziest friggin' tweet you're ever going to hear. I'm going to pull this up for you. In the meantime, while I pull that up, this is nuts. This is crazy. I'm going to read you this tweet that ESPN tweeted out yesterday. But in the meantime, CNN dropping a truth bomb here about how popular what President Trump did yesterday defending the rights of women in sports. And every dad out there and every mom out there who has little girls, like my buddy, former New Jersey Labor Commissioner and Assemblyman Hal Wirtz, listening to the show today, his two daughters— that was exactly what I'm talking about. I have two daughters. You care about your daughters, your kids, you want to protect them? Hell yeah. Well, guess what? Everybody does. And I think this number's low here in this CNN poll. Let's cue up cut number 12 here. This is CNN political analyst Harry Enten. I think this is low. I think it's actually higher. He's going to say 79%. I think it's more like 90%. Cut 12.
I think these numbers are really illuminating on this topic because I just think there's such a clear trend among the American public. So transgender female athletes in women's sports, only 18% of the country says that they should be, in fact, allowed to participate in women's sports. Compare this to the opposition. I mean, my goodness gracious, 79%. You rarely get 79% of the country to agree on anything, but they do, in fact, agree on the idea of opposing transgender female athletes in women's sports. But it's not just the here and now, Laura. It's not just the here and now. What we're actually seeing is a trend on this particular issue, and it's going in the direction of opposition. So take a look here. Okay, transgendered female athletes, and amongst those Americans who oppose them in women's sports, back in 2021, it was 62%. A majority, but, you know, not anywhere close to a ginormous majority, right? A clear majority, but not a ginormous majority. But then again, you look here in 2025, you see it at 79%. So it's not just that the majority of Americans are opposed to transgender female athletes in women's sports. It's that the opposition has become considerably larger in just the last 4 years.
Boom. Now, ESPN is owned by ABC, Disney. The parent company is China. So it's ABC, Disney, China is the exact corporate name. ESPN is an offshoot of that, obviously. Anyway, ABC, Disney, China, and their fake sports station, ESPN, put out the following tweet yesterday. I'm going to read this to you. Okay, I'm going to try to read it slowly because it's hard to understand, but this is in leftism, so I have to put my translator on here. Quote, President Donald Trump will sign an executive order Wednesday designed to prevent people who were biologically assigned male at birth from participating in women's or girls' sporting events. Now, I took that tweet and I retweeted it and I asked the following question. Who does the assigning? If they're assigned biologically male at birth, who does that assignment? Is there a committee? Are they in the uterus? Is the committee in the uterus? Are they in the clouds? Are they in heaven? Surely not heaven, right? I mean, there's no way ABC, Disney, China believes in heaven. So, and how come they always get it wrong? How come this gender assignment committee keeps screwing this up? That's what I can't figure out. Assigned at birth. That means somebody gave you an assignment. I'm assigning you a penis. That's your assignment. Go be a man. Who's that person who does that? Is it God? Is it God? I don't think ABC, Disney, China believes in God. No way. No chance. So who does it? I think there's a little committee of people. They're so tiny you can't see them like a microscope. Like, you see, my staph infection in my foot, for example, you can't see it. You know, that bacteria, you need a super microscope to see it. I think it's the same thing with the gender assignment committee. They live in utero, and they're so tiny, they're like Peter Dinklage couldn't even play them. That's how small they are. You know what I'm saying? Like inside the uterus. And they take a vote. And it's like there's nine. It's got to be a 5-4 decision. Is this a male or a female? And there's no appeal process. So if they get it wrong, you know, like 5-4, we're assigning this baby male. And there's no appeal. Then the baby's born. It's like, dude, I was assigned male at birth, but I'm clearly not male. So I need to go chop my schwanz off now. And it's the only thing I can think of. If you're assigned a penis when you're born, who assigned that? The language of the left is bonkers, isn't it? Isn't that freaking nuts? President Donald Trump will sign an executive order Wednesday designed to prevent people who were biologically assigned male at birth. I don't even think that that's grammatically correct. I mean, it's not logically correct, but I don't even think that's grammatically correct. Let me see if I can wordsmith this here. Okay. President Donald Trump will sign an executive order Wednesday designed to prevent people who were biologically assigned male at birth from participating in women's or girls' sporting events. Matt DeSantis, do me a favor. Can you pull up ChatGPT? I want to see if that's, I think grammatically speaking, you have to change the word order here. I think technically it would be President Donald Trump will sign an executive order Wednesday designed to prevent people who were assigned biologically male at birth versus were biologically assigned male at birth from participating in women's or girls' sports. And then after you do that, to see if it's grammatically correct, then take the computer and beat me across the head until I pass out from trying to figure out the logic of this. If you could do that, I'd appreciate it for you.
All
yeah,
it.
Susie Cool gets it. It's more like 90%, no doubt about it. You know what it is? A pollster calls up to the house, and they're like, do you support bio dudes playing in women's sports? And the guy is like, hell no. But if he's dating a girl who works at, I don't know, went through one of those colleges where she probably was a lesbian in college, you know, just for like the fun of it to fit in, and then graduated, you know what I mean? Like one of those colleges on the main line or something. And he looks over at her and he's like, oh, absolutely. Just because you were assigned male, just because you were biologically assigned male at birth, that should not stop you from playing women's sports. Nobody really believes this, by the way. I'm just saying. And I know from talking to moms and dads, because I talk to moms and dads all the time, in my capacity as a talk show host, what do? I listen. I listen a lot. I overhear people's conversations. Assigned male at birth. So I think it's a committee, and they're very, very tiny little people. Like smaller than the Seven Dwarfs, which I don't think what are they called now in the new, in the woke Snow White movie that's coming out, Matt? They're not called the dwarves anymore. What are they called? Like the village people or something? What are they called?
Yeah, I think the dwarves were done away with entirely. I think they're just, you know, people now.
They're just people.
Yeah.
So it's Snow White and the Seven People?
I can double check, but I'm pretty sure that whole narrative has gone away. It's just like seven dudes living in a house with Snow White or something.
First of all, to the dwarf community, I sincerely apologize, because it can't be easy to be an actor. If you are a member of the dwarf community and you're an actor, you were hoping your whole career to get a chance to be able to play one of the seven dwarfs. That'd be like cashing it in. For me as an Italian, if I was an actor, it'd be like me getting the role of Michael Corleone. It'd be like the role of a lifetime, right? And they've done away with your job. They got rid of your job because to be politically correct, and now they have, I think they're all CGI, the seven village people that Snow White hangs out with. I think they're all CGI, right?
No, they're actual people. The Daily Mail said that it's now Snow White and the seven politically correct companions.
Politically correct companions. That makes more sense. Are these dwarves in real life, these actors, or no?
It looks like it's a mix of genders, ethnicities, and heights.
Mm. Yeah. That's unfair to the dwarf community. It should be just people under whatever qualifies one as a dwarf, because these roles, there's not a lot of these roles. They're not making a lot of movies out there. Like, I mean, if they did The Wizard of Oz today, would they even have the Lilliput people in it? Would they even do that? Probably not.
Well, they did that new movie Wicked. I don't think the Munchkins were in it.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I think they were
called...
Can
you find me Maisie Hirono talking about ending dwarf tossing, please?
Yeah, give me a second.
I need to hear that. She's the dumbest senator in the United States of America. She really is, in the entire country. I know she represents Hawaii, but that's still technically part of the United States of America. But anyway, the president put out, I fought for her. It's a video celebrating Trump signing an executive order to protect women's sports. This is huge. It's a big deal. This is the Republican Party took the issue of women's rights and owned it. And the Democrat Party, to cater to a few crazy people, decided that they were not going to stand up for women. Think of how stupid that is, politically speaking. How politically dumb that is. So Donald Trump, feminist, won the suburban women vote by saying, I will go out there and protect your daughters. I will make sure that they don't have to worry about some dude sporting wood in their locker room. Good for him. Here's a video they put out. This is cut number 13. I fought for her. Take a watch.
I fought for her.
And I fought for her.
I fought for her.
For her.
For her.
For her.
I fought for her.
For her.
We fought for her.
And President Trump.
President Trump.
President Trump
has fought for all of us.
For us.
He fights for us.
Fought for us.
President Trump fought for me.
For us.
For us.
for us.
For us, for us.
I'm so grateful that President Trump has fought for us.
It's great. It's good. It's beautiful stuff. It's great. But, you know, these women in the suburbs also voted for Donald Trump because of the economy. It's still the economy, stupid. And to that end, the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, it's cube cut number 26, lays out the tax priorities of the Trump administration. This is what they want to get done. They want to do a lot of things. Now, one of these things you're going to hear about is the salt cap. So if you live in New Jersey, like I do, you pay a ton of property taxes. Right now, the amount of money you pay in your property taxes is capped at, for the purposes of writing it off on your taxes, at $10,000. They're going to raise that. When we talked to Congressman Jeff Van Drew about this last week, they don't know exactly the number, but it's probably going to go up to maybe 20,000, could be 30,000, not quite sure. And I get it. There's a philosophical debate about this. Why should the rest of the country be subsidizing the property taxes that I have to pay in Blue Jersey because my governor, King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness, when he's not harboring illegal immigrants above his garage, is spending money we don't have. I get that point. However, at the same time, I do understand the point of keeping as much money in people's pockets as possible. I really do. I really believe that. I think it's better for everybody if the federal government gets less money. So if that means I get to keep more of my money, great. Look, I would do away with it all if it were me. Flat tax. That's it. You pay a flat rate. Everybody pays the same rate. There's no deductions, nothing. That's it. Ask me for my plan. That's my plan. That's what I want. So you don't have to worry about this. There'd be no point in debating the state and local tax deduction because you wouldn't have any deductions. You wouldn't have to worry about tax on overtime because it would be a flat tax period. That's it. And you'd be good. So anyway, this is what Caroline Leavitt laid out for the priorities of the administration when it comes to taxes, cut 26.
So these are the tax priorities of the Trump administration that the president has laid out for members in that meeting today. No tax on tips, which is obviously a very public campaign promise that the president made. No tax on seniors' Social Security. No tax on overtime pay. Renewing President Trump's 2017 middle class tax cuts. Again, these are the president's priorities. Adjusting the salt cap, eliminate all the special tax breaks for billionaire sports team owners, close the carried interest tax deduction loophole, tax cuts for Made in America products. This will be the largest tax cut in history for middle class working Americans. The president is committed to working with Congress to get this done.
Good. Excellent. I like to hear that. That's great. All that stuff's good. But it'd be better to just do a flat tax and that would be the end of it. You know what I mean? That be the end of it, and then we could just not even have to worry about any of this stuff. In my opinion, I think that would be good. But we'll see if we get there. We really do. She also talked about going line by line through the budget. Again, we are $35 trillion in debt. We are worried about the dollar no longer being the reserve currency for the rest of the world. We are crushing the weight of our own currency. The biggest expense of our government is the interest on our national debt. This is unsustainable. This cannot stand. Every time you hear the corporate media go on about some heartbreaking story about some cut somewhere, just keep reminding yourself of the fact this country will not be able to help anybody, including its own people, if the dollar is completely worthless because of our own debt. Okay? That would be the true cruelty. That would be the true destruction of everything the United States of America holds dear. And then we can't help anybody in the world. This is White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, cut 27.
Going through the federal government line by line and making this government more efficient is one of those priorities and one of those promises that President Trump made. And as you just cited, John, 56% of Americans support freezing foreign aid. And I read a fascinating article in the Washington Post today. They interviewed voters in Pennsylvania, and all of them said that they support President Trump and Elon Musk's efforts to make this government more efficient. What President Trump and Elon Musk and this entire administration is trying to do is make our bloated bureaucracy here in Washington run like a profitable business. And every agency has been tasked with going line by line and ensuring that the American taxpayer's money is aligned with the American people's interests. It's a common sense solution to fixing a decades-old problem of bloated bureaucracy, waste, fraud, and abuse. And the vast majority majority of Americans support it. So the Democrats can hoot and holler all they want. This White House will stay committed to delivering on President Trump's priorities and being good stewards of the hardworking American people's tax dollars.
Can I ask my executive producer, Matt DeSantis, a quick question? Matt, do you think when I say ABC, Disney, China, that I'm being serious? Or do you think it's my usual Zioli sarcasm hyperbole? What do you think?
Oh, I was under the impression they officially changed the name.
Apparently you and Paul Hanlon on Twitter, speaking of bloated, he wrote the following on Twitter. There is no ABC Disney China Corporation. Gee, Paul, thanks. We really all thought it was true. We really all thought I was being serious there. When I said the parent company of ABC was Disney and the parent company of Disney is China, that it's ABC Disney China. Well, everybody really thought I was serious. Then Brian goes on to say, that's another lie that Zioli panders, along with saying that Justin Trudeau is the love child of Fidel Castro. Well, on that point...
No.
What? What were you going to say?
We believe Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau and is Canadian.
Is that the official stance of the show?
Legally, that is our official stance, yes.
Allegedly. Allegedly. He just looks a lot like, I'm just saying, he looks a lot like Fidel Castro, and his mom used to have naked twister parties and sex with Fidel, but, you know, but, and probably, and got knocked up in Cuba. But other than that, you're right. Probably no chance. And he's a dictator like his dad.
Well, I think I can concede that he does look a little bit like Fidel Castro.
I look more like Pierre Trudeau than Justin Trudeau does. Maisie Hirono looks more like Pierre Trudeau than Justin Trudeau does. I'm just saying. Justin, our own Justin, looks more like Pierre Trudeau. Go to the Justin cam for a second and put up a picture side by side of Pierre Trudeau, and you'll see what I mean. More of a resemblance to our own Justin Otero, who's not even Canadian, than to Justin Trudeau. Our Justin looks more like Pierre Trudeau than Justin Trudeau does. Am I right? Look at him. Look at that. That's all I'm saying.
By the way, there are a lot of posts on the internet trying to disprove this theory that Justin Trudeau is secretly related to Fidel Castro. And to do so, they post pictures of Justin Trudeau and his father, Pierre Trudeau, side by side. And I have to say, they don't look anything alike. I don't know what... That isn't disproving anything. It's just raising more questions as far as I'm concerned. But again, officially, our stance is that Justin Trudeau is in fact the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Allegedly. Allegedly. I think our Justin looks more like Pierre Trudeau than their Justin does. But that's me. Because Justin Trudeau is the bastard love child of Fidel Castro. Okay, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Listen, Dr. Mike Venaria, my friend, my dentist, the master of dental info. I just keep talking to him. I can't get a word in. The master of giving you your beautiful smile and making sure you look and feel great. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. You know what's great about Dr. Mike? Is that he really, really cares about your smile, puts it first, and that's what you're going to love. Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Coming up, the CIA offers buyouts to the entire workforce. Is this the time now to revamp the CIA? You're damn right it is. Coming right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm very excited about this next guest for a number of reasons, but mainly because of the school that he's affiliated with is the Scalia School of Law. So I want to welcome to the program Professor Eugene Kantorovich, professor at Georgetown University Scalia School of Law, and he is the world's preeminent expert on universal jurisdiction and maritime piracy, as well as international law and the Israel-Arab conflict. He is also the executive director of the Scalia Law School's Center for the Middle East and International Law, and he has a new opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, "The United States Has Rights Over the Panama Canal." Professor Kantorovich, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the show, Rich.
Absolutely. So we've heard a lot about the Panama Canal, and I mean, so much so that President Trump mentioned it in his inaugural address, saying the United States needs to take back the Panama Canal. So when we hear that, first of all, a lot of people started freaking out and saying, what is it going to invade Panama, take over Panama, you know? And then, of course, we heard the history of how we built the Panama Canal and 36,000 Americans died. So first thing I want to ask you is, how did the Panama Canal come to be in the first place?
So the Panama Canal came to be largely through American doing and intervention, and basically the United Panama was part of Colombia, and the United States helped Panama successfully secede or revolt from Colombia. And essentially, in exchange, was given rights to dig this canal across all of Panama. That canal came to be administered by America for most of the 20th century, and the Panama Canal Zone was essentially a U.S. overseas dependency, a U.S. overseas territory, you know, with U.S. post office, U.S. mail service, and kind of like part of America, in a sense, and that provided security and administered the Panama Canal.
And then what happened? At one point, President Jimmy Carter decided to give it back, give it to Panama?
Yeah, Jimmy Carter decided that we would improve our standing in Latin America and be able to sort of weaken anti-American, pro-Soviet movements in Latin America if we left the Panama Canal. And so he gave it to Panama for nothing, for a dollar. And 20 years later, the United States completely left the Panama Canal zone, and it became fully part of Panama in 1999.
All right. Now, you write in your piece at the Wall Street Journal, which is entitled "The U.S. Has Rights Over the Panama Canal." Marco Rubio is right. "The neutrality treaty authorizes America to enforce a prohibition against foreign operation." You say here, essentially, now the U.S. has a serious legal basis on which to contest, including by military intervention, what it regards as impermissible foreign influence in the canal. So explain that to us, Professor.
So when the United States left the Panama Canal, it gave it for free to Panama, but it did impose some conditions which Panama accepted. In particular, Panama guaranteed that the canal would be neutral, that it would not be put or given to any foreign power. And what does neutrality mean? amongst other things, in the neutrality treaty that Panama signed, it means that the canal cannot have present the security forces of any country other than Panama, and that no other country could operate or the canal other than Panama. Mm-hmm. Now, you have currently Chinese companies are operating infrastructure facilities in the area of the canal. Now, that raises questions about whether it has been put under foreign control. Because even though these are Chinese private companies, in some cases, some of them are also Chinese government companies, in a communist country, the difference between private and public is not sharp like in America. Because all countries, all companies are essentially subject to government diktat.
Okay.
So, arguably, the control of facilities in the canal area by these Chinese companies is foreign operation, which is prohibited by the treaty. Additionally, if any of the thousands of Chinese workers at these facilities who kind of live in the cloistered, closed off facilities, if they happen to be Chinese spies or security officers, which it would be shocking if they don't have intelligence operatives there, given that they have them even in the U.S. Congress, then that would potentially violate the prohibition on having foreign forces in the canal.
Now, this is an important point, Professor, and I want to read this paragraph here so that everybody understands. In a communist regime, distinctions between private and government-owned firms are matters of degree, not kind. China has an official strategy known as military-civilian fusion, aimed at integrating the country's military and civilian sectors to advance the Chinese army. The country's Belt and Road Initiative is a sprawling policy to strengthen its strategic influence overseas. Panama is an official signatory of the initiative, allowing China increased investment and influence. So, in other words, and then we'll talk about the Suez Canal in just a second here, but in other words, when President Trump says we gave the canal to Panama, we didn't give it to China. It's not just that China's having its ships go by, or that China owns a couple of like docks, or a marina or something along the Panama Canal, where they might serve cocktails or something. No. What we're saying here is that China has an actual physical presence in the canal and control over the canal in a manner that would arguably then violate the treaty that the United States has with China. It's not just simply a matter of Chinese presence being there. It's a matter of the involvement of these Chinese companies and then ergo the government, correct?
Chinese companies who are subject to the government of China to different degrees. Now, they don't technically control the actual canal. That is to say, the narrow water passage and a system of locks, which raises ships and moves them across. But they control facilities that control the canal. For example, two large ports at the entrances to the canal, which could be used to block access to the canal. And as well as the Chinese government company is actually building a bridge across the canal, which obviously, as we saw in Baltimore, can be used to fundamentally obstruct the canal.
All right. Now, you said there's a parallel to this with the Suez Canal. So explain that to us, if you could.
Okay. So the Suez Canal, which is the other major world canal, was built by a French company in the 19th century. Actually, a French company also started, I believe, work on the Panama Canal, but it was taken over by America because they didn't really make much headway. And that French company then was partially acquired by a British company. So it was basically a French-British company that owned it. Nonetheless, the fact that it was owned by this French-British company essentially made it, for all intents and purposes, under British control. Right? And it was always regarded as a British protectorate, so much so that when Egypt nationalized the canal, that is to say, took it away from this private company in 1956, it was considered an act of war and led to war with Britain and France themselves. So, you know, a private company could really be an agent of a government.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, this is good to know. So now, what's the next step here? I mean, I know that Rubio went down to Panama and he spoke with them, and he's and since then, it seems like now they're getting away from this whole Belt Road Initiative with China. Is that really what's occurring here?
I mean, they've said they're getting away from the Belt Road Initiative. They said they're not going to renew the agreement in 2 years, but that's 2 years from now. So we'll see. Right? They may just be kicking the can down the road, hoping that President Trump will forget about it, or, you know, be politically weaker in 2 years. So I would not cash those chips in. I would not cash that in yet. And it also doesn't go to the central concern, which is really the concern about the ongoing management of these facilities by the Chinese companies. So it's really the contracts with the Chinese companies that need to be canceled or renegotiated. And they haven't offered to do that yet. I think they want to see if the pressure is going to stay on.
All right. And so then the last question I have to ask you then is, if there were to be a military intervention, Professor, by the United States of America, what would that look like? And you argue in your piece in The Wall Street Journal that would be justified. So then how does that whole thing work?
So the treaty clearly authorizes the United States to use military force to threats to the neutrality of the canal. Now, that's a concession that Panama made, right? That's a limitation on Panama's sovereignty that they accepted in exchange for getting the canal. Normally, you can't invade other countries just because they have Chinese companies working in them. But sure. Panama agreed to this in advance, as it were. What the military operation would look like, you know, I don't, I'm not a military expert, but I, you know, one hopes it would not have to happen. That would be really a last ditch effort. I think already we've seen that diplomacy and negotiation and, you know, merely the possibility of such action can begin to open doors, and hopefully Panama will continue to address these concerns.
Or as Dave Chappelle said, what's Panama going to do? They don't have an army. So there's also that.
That's also true.
That's also true, right. Well, thanks for breaking this down for us. I mean, it's really important for people to understand that, because I think too often people run with this idea that Trump is sounding like a dictator or an imperialist or something, but you break it down to the actual basis of the treaty and therefore then the legal basis.
A treaty negotiated by the Carter regime, and I think the Carter administration was very clear that we're not just... You know, this is how he reassured the American people and the American Senate at the time, was saying, we're not just walking away from the canal and saying, you know, whatever happens, let the Soviets or the Chinese take over. We're going to retain rights to ensure the neutrality of the canal, even by military means.
Good. Yeah, no, it's great. I'm glad you did it. Stupid thing, though, for Carter to give it up, though, wasn't it? I mean, that was dumb, right?
It was completely ridiculous, and it did not achieve the intended results of improving our standing in Latin America. And I think that's something we need to remember now, that there's pressure on Israel to, you know, to give up territories in exchange for a few good days of press. You know, to give up strategically important territory is going to be something that can be done quickly and then regretted for a century.
Professor, I want to thank you for your time today. Follow him on X at E.V. Kantorovich, Professor Eugene Kantorovich from the George Mason University Scalia School of Law. Thanks, Professor. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much. Good to be on. Take care. Bye.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
By the way, the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Administration, has updated their policy on transgender student athletes to reflect President Trump's executive order. In other words, no more bio dudes playing in college sports. My friend Barb sent a note regarding my comment about trading for a different woman. Trade in when your woman starts going down. Just kidding, sort of, Rich. You know, it works both ways. Better watch out. Karma. Bridget hasn't traded you in yet. First of all, I was referring to somebody who's super, super rich like Jalen Hurts, not some schlub like me. All right? There's a big difference there. Me, especially with my wife's had to go through with injecting my arm every night with antibiotics and multiple foot surgeries and just multiple surgeries, believe me, there's no trading in going on here. I just can't believe she hasn't put cyanide into my veins yet at this point. Because, I mean, there's got to be the PICC line. I figure by now she would have injected bleach. And, of course, I was just kidding. Sort of. I mean, if you have Jalen Hurts money, that's different. But that's only because Matt DeSantis said his girlfriend was... What was the phrase you used? Kind of attractive, I believe, or kind of hot?
No, it's his fiance, and I said, yeah, she was pretty hot.
Yeah. By the way, at some point, I want to put a picture of Justin Otero, our producer, and Justin Trudeau, and Pierre Trudeau, all three of them, and say, which Justin looks more like Pierre Trudeau? Can we do that?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
All right, I'd like to do a con. We'll put Pierre Trudeau in the middle, Trudeau on the left because he's a leftist, and Justin on the right because he's a sensible, common sense man, and say which Justin looks more like Pierre Trudeau. What do you think? We'll play the Justin game. I love this idea. It's a brilliant idea. One of the best ideas I've ever had. Right.
Solid. Best idea ever. I don't know.
I said one of the best ideas ever. Not the best, one of the best.
It's an interesting way to pass some time this afternoon. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and what we could do, we could have Dr. Coates play the game first. If we can get it set up by...
So this will be Dr. Victoria Coates' last appearance on the show. That's a shame.
President Trump is quoting her. She's all over the national news. But I make her decide which Justin looks more like Pierre Trudeau. And she's like, I can't believe I'm actually on this radio show.
Maybe if she answers her, her response will be included on a White House press release as well.
That's true. They did quote our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, in the White House press release regarding Gaza. We'll talk about that. She'll be joining us a little bit after 5 o'clock. Dr. Mike Vineri is a great guy, great friend, and great dentist. So for over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike. And I'd love for you to make that appointment today with Dr. Mike Vineria. So what makes him different? Well, first of all, we have so much to smile about in this day and age. We really do. We have so much to smile about. We're winning again. Everything's looking great, except for the egg thing with the chickens. And we talked about that yesterday with Senator Dave McCormick. But I'm sure that at some point we'll be able to get a handle on that situation. But we're winning, and it feels good. So make sure you've got a beautiful smile to show the world. And that's what Dr. Mike will give you. If you need dental implants, there's simply no one better than Dr. Mike Vineria. He's known as the master of implant dentistry. And that's why I tell you, don't go to the closest dentist, go to the best, Dr. Mike. See, a lot of dentists out there, especially these chain dentist offices, they're not concerned about care. They're concerned with money, making money. Dr. Mike puts your care first and foremost. That's what sets him apart. So make your appointment today. Remember, he's the Zioli family dentist. My entire family goes to Dr. Mike, Bridget and the kids. And of course, Mama Zioli first discovered him for our family. Dr. Mike Vineria, Vineria Dental. com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so I guess President Trump's not signing any executive orders from the Oval Office, or maybe it's running late or whatever it is. Either way, if it happens before 7 o'clock, we'll bring it to you live today, and I'm excited about that. So, yeah, talk about winning, the NCAA dropping their transgender nonsense with athletes. Look, I'm sorry, but this issue matters a lot to me. It really does. I find, particularly with our children, I think one day in time, we're going to look back on this period and find it to be one of the most barbaric periods of humanity. I mean this. Like humanity. You know, I'm not a person who goes down the road of making Nazi comparisons, because I think most of the time, 99% of the time, it's stupid. But the experiments that the Nazis did on people, there's a book I read in college. I took a political philosophy class. Shocking, I know. It's called The Nazi Doctors. It was all about the doctors who, like, you know, they were doctors. I mean, they were just like, they were German doctors who, of course, had to serve the Nazi regime, and they would do all kinds of barbaric, horrific experiments on people. I mean, you've heard a lot of them. Dr. Mengele, obviously, is the most famous of them, but there were many others. And the whole point of the book was that these doctors would like any other, they go to work and start experimenting on like Jewish kids and trying to purify the races, and I mean horrific stuff. I think one day in the future, we'll look back on this time that we allowed doctors to remove the breasts of 13-year-old girls and put kids on puberty blockers that are not even approved for this kind of use. I mean, it's an off-label use. I think we'll look back on this as one of the most barbaric things the United States of America has ever done. Truly. Top three for sure. What we've done to our children, what we've allowed to be done to our children's bodies by a greedy medical establishment that makes $500 billion in profit doing this. And like I said, you're an adult, knock yourself out. I don't really care what you want to do. You want to be a pirate and cut your leg off? Do your thing. Just don't make me pay for it. But when we talk about our kids here, and I think that there's something else too, which is that we'll look back on this period where we all had to pretend that something was not the truth as also one of the worst things we ever had to, as a society, I refused to do it, but as a society to go through. Like, in other words, truth for its own sake, the absolute commitment to truth, which from a philosophical point of view, whether it's Immanuel Kant or George Carlin, we were told that we couldn't say the truth about something. We had to acknowledge a societal lie for the good of society, i.e. that a man could be a woman and a woman could be a man. And I hope we'll look back on that period of lunacy one day and realize how dangerous that was. For truth for its own sake. Anyway, big 5 o'clock hour coming up for you. We got a lot to break down. Our buddy Dr. Victoria Coates will join us. What does President Trump really want to do in Gaza? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.